This morning's lesson is from John chapter 8, verse 12. I'll be reading from the New International Version. It can be found on page 96 of the New Testament. For those who are able, please stand for the reading. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Congregation and guests, good morning. As Mary talked about, Pastor Len has been down in the Nashville, Tennessee area this week, and I'm a lay member of the church and was asked to deliver the message today. So here's my story. I grew up in Evansville, Indiana, and I attended Trinity Lutheran Church. And let me tell you about the structure of this church. First of all, it was built in the late 1800s. It's a very big church, still standing today, still there. And it's got the main area of the church, I'll call it, and then there's a balcony, and then there's two wings. And as a kid, I used to usher, and we had to count the people. So I know both of the wings hold 160 people each. So you can begin to tell how big this church was. Well, my sophomore year in high school, our church, just like here, had Youth Sunday. So the youth did the ushering. They did the collection. One of the youth played the organ, one of the youth sang, and three youth gave the sermon, the message. And it was Len Mertz, Danny Franklin, and me. And so we were told a little bit by the pastor what to get ready for, and the Wednesday before the Sunday of Youth Sunday, he wanted to meet with us. So we go there, and he kind of gives us his thoughts of what he's thinking about, and we kind of give our thoughts on what we're going to talk about. And I distinctly remember him saying at the end, "I want you to keep your message to 5 minutes. Four would be better." And now I know if you do the math, that's right at 15 minutes. And we had certain members of the church that if you talk for more than 15 minutes in the sermon, you don't know what was really going to happen. One of those individuals was my father. And Dad would just get real antsy. And so the minister again said, "Take 5 minutes or 4 minutes." Well, back in those days, I didn't own a watch, so my father gave me his watch that Sunday, and the order was Lynn would go first, then Danny, then myself. Well, Lynn gave her message, and I'm watching. She goes almost 6 minutes. Now, anybody who knows me, I've been a time nut forever, and I'm sitting there going, oh my, she just went 1 minute over her time. So I'm thinking maybe between Danny Franklin next and myself, we can make up that time. Well, Danny goes up and he starts to talk. And he talks. And he talks. He went more than 14 minutes on his own. Now, I was never real good at math, but I'm doing 6 plus 14, that's 20. We're supposed to only have gone 15 minutes. I'm mortified. I don't know what to do next. But the minister's sitting with us, and I look at the minister, and he looks at me, and he didn't have to say a word. All I knew was I had to do my message very quickly. Now, to this day, I don't really know what happened when I came up front, but I think I gave my whole 5-minute talk in 25 seconds. I just hit the 3 bullet points, and that was it, and sat back down. Now, I don't know if the words disappointed or not. I guess I was always disappointed through my life that I was never able to share that message. Well, guess what, church? Finally, after almost 50 years, I still remember the 3 points. I still remember them. And I'm going to share that with you today. So remember, I was a sophomore in high school. And I remember the way I started my message went like this. About 6 months ago, my father, my mother, and my younger sister and I, we went to Mammoth Cave. Just a quick show of hands. How many have been to Mammoth? Okay, a lot. It's called Mammoth because it's Mammoth. And today they say there's 390 miles that have been explored in that cave some way. And the term they use, there's no light at the end even. There's even more to explain. And so mother, dad, my sister, and I, we go on this tour. And the tour guide's taking us on, I don't know which tour it was, but we're on this tour. And he gets to a certain point where he turns the light off. And if you, some of you are nodding your head, you know what this is. I mean, it is complete darkness. If you've been in a cave, you know, you can do your hand like that and you can't even begin to see it. And here's what he said. You can walk in the dark, but I wouldn't recommend it. I would just remember those words. And he talked to us for a few minutes, and then he turned on a flashlight, and he said, follow the light. And for about two more minutes, we followed that light. And that path, you could just absolutely see where it went. So we followed that, and then all of a sudden, he used this term, be prepared to be awed. And he flipped on a switch. And what I remember as a kid is all of a sudden, this cave was as big as this sanctuary. And there was a little river stream going through it, different rock formations, stalactites, stalagmites. It was absolutely stunning when that light came on and you saw that. Now, here's what I want to do. That particular day, a tour guide talked about a cave. But if we substitute the words, and where we're saying tour guide, we say Jesus, and where we say cave, we just put the word life in there. That's what I want to talk about. It's those three phrases. You know, the first phrase he said was, you can walk in the dark, but I wouldn't recommend it. Now, those words aren't anywhere exactly in the Bible, but I could almost picture Jesus saying those words. You can walk in the dark, but I wouldn't recommend it. 205 times in the Bible, it uses the word dark or darkness. And in almost every case, it's not saying it's something positive. It's saying something negative or something bad is happening or will begin to happen. You know, if we look at Ephesians 5:11, and we look at the newer version, it says, you know, don't walk in the dark because there's just unfruitful things will happen. And it begins to talk about the word dark and darkness again. And there's so many different times when there's the dark side of things. And not just the evil things, but just dark things. Now, this past Monday is one of my favorite Mondays of all year. Those of you who are going to know what I'm going to talk about, it was the end of the basketball season. Now Michigan State didn't make it. I assume God had some more important things to do that day, that Michigan State didn't get to the final game. But one of the things that I enjoy is the week, if you don't follow basketball, you're down to the final four teams. And they played a tournament over a period of about two or three weeks. And what I like is every year they'll take some what I'll call human interest stories about some of the players on the team, and they'll talk about them. My favorite story this year came from a player on the University of Wisconsin team. His name is Trayvon Jackson. And Trayvon Jackson is currently a senior. But he talked about when he was a freshman and sophomore in high school, in college. And here's was his words. I was the life of the party. And he talked about how he'd start the party and he'd end the party. And he sure indicated between the start of the party and the end of the party, he was doing a number of things in the dark. They were not positive things. And he talked about then he'd go back each night after he'd been to the party and he was a star basketball player, but what an empty feeling he had. There was no feeling inside. He thought he should feel great, a sense of purpose, but there was nothing. Now, I'll stop the story there and I'll come back to it a little later. The second thing the tour guide said is, follow the light. Now, we've heard that message so many times, and I say this very sincerely. I mean, if we've been to church three times, we've heard that message somewhere along the way. You know, Pastor Lynn talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We got to begin to follow the light. And the light tells us which direction we need to go. When we look at Psalm 119, verse 105, it talks about my word, meaning God's word. My word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. So just like that tour guide that day had the light and shone it, that's what God's word does for us. It gives us the light that we've got all this darkness, just like in the cave, and we don't know what's over there, but there's the light that tells us exactly where we need to go and what we need to do. Now, we talk about the word, and let me play on words for a minute. The word. I thought of two different places in the Bible where we talk about the word. You know, one place is the Lord's Prayer. You know, what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. And the Lord's Prayer is so, so powerful. That's a light for us. And what I find out, that's the word. But as we look at the word, that's a grand total of, depending on which version you read, it's a total of 65 or 66 words long. The other light that I think about in the Bible is the Ten Commandments. You know, it's not the 10 suggestions, it's the 10 commandments. And here's what we need to do. When you look at how many words are in that word, there are 67 words in there that tell us how to lead life. Now, let me put this in perspective. There is a document out there that regulates, right, currently regulates the price of cabbage. That's over 26,000 words long. Now, think about this. To price cabbage is 26,000 plus words. To how you live your life is either 65 or 66 words or 67 words if we look at the Ten Commandments. I think I'll take the first two on how to live life. Now, back to the Trayvon Jackson story, the basketball player at University of Wisconsin. The end of his sophomore year, he goes, there's got to be something greater because I'm not getting it being a basketball player and I'm not getting it being the life of the party. And at the very end of his sophomore year, he was invited to a Bible study. And when he went there, he said, I heard people stand up and I heard them talk about how they felt afterward and that fullness they had inside of them. And he said, I committed to Christ right on the spot. And he went on and talked about what it's meant for him his last 2 years. And if you ever see him interviewed, he'll always say, you know, I just want to thank God I've got this opportunity. You know, start out the same way by thanking God or thanking Jesus in some way. And he talked about how fulfilled he is now and how it means something. And what they did in this article I read is they went and interviewed the other basketball players on the team. And the comment, I liked it. He said, Trayvon doesn't push his Christian views on us, but the way he responds to situations, the way he acts, the way he talks, the person he used to be compared to the person he is now, we know the faith is there. And he talks about how many of the players he's touched. I mean, that's seeing the light. That's seeing the light that's there. Now, the third thing the tour guide talked about when I was at Mammoth Cave was be prepared to be awed. And that means if we don't go over in the darkness, and we try to stay away as much as we can and we follow the light, that when our time on earth is over, be prepared to be awed, because it's going to be incredible up in heaven. You know, Matthew 5, verse 12 states this, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. When I was growing up down in Evansville, Indiana, I had a whole lot of aunts and uncles. I figured everybody had aunts and uncles like I did, but I found out they didn't. I had a whole bunch. And it's just human nature. Some I'm going to like more than the others. And one of my favorite was Uncle Art. Well, Uncle Art, 4 weeks ago, passed away. And so Joan and I go down to the funeral. And, you know, we were there, and the minister begins to talk about, and I called him Uncle Art, but the minister called him Arthur. And he talked about Arthur's life. Now, Arthur was a Christian, my Uncle Art. He loved his wife dearly. He had three children, my cousins, that he just adored. His grandchildren, oh, they were on a pedestal. Three of the grandchildren stood up when we got to the cemetery and spoke, and there wasn't a dry eye around. I mean, it was just incredible what they had to say. And he talked about he was an incredibly successful businessman. But one of the things my Uncle Art was known for, more than anything else maybe, was he served in World War II. And when he came back, he had a sense of patriotism that was off the chart. And he really, really believed in veterans, and veterans should have certain rights. And the rest of his life, he talked about that. In fact, he became the only person ever to be elected the national commander of the Veterans of Foreign War 2 different times. He was doing that during the Reagan administration. He got to know Ronald Reagan on a personal basis, and President Reagan really supported what my uncle did. He testified before Senate and the House. He traveled everywhere in the world. When you went into one of his rooms, he had a game room. This wall were all the pictures of him standing with people that were famous all over the world. Just an incredible life. Now, at the funeral, the minister was sitting there and giving the eulogy. And he told basically what I just told you. And at the very end, I may not get the exact words, but I'll get the one word that's key. He said, Arthur had tremendous experiences in life. But it's not, and here's the key word I remember, it's not an inkling of what he's going to face in heaven and see in heaven and experience in heaven. A couple of years ago, my mother passed away and we drove down there. She was in a hospice house. We got there for about the last 10 minutes of her life. And I said things, and I don't know if Mom heard me or not. I sure hope she did. But I wish I would remember that phrase, because the last couple of years of my mom's life were pretty rough. And I wish I would remember to say, be prepared to be awed, because I think she would have liked that. So here's the message as I begin to conclude today, folks. We can sit here and we can be in the darkness, and we've heard that story many times, But this coming week, it's going to be there in some way or fashion. It's something we say, it's something we don't say, it's something we do, it's something we don't do. But it's going to try to lead us to the darkness. But if we can bring ourselves back from the darkness and get to the light, there's a lot there. A year ago at Easter, Time Magazine, front page here, and I know you can't see it from probably where you're sitting, but the whole article states, Finding God in the Dark, front of Time Magazine. And so if we find God in the dark, then we've got the light. And then if we got the light, as we get later in life, be prepared to be awed. And folks, that is a mammoth experience.